Good evening, this is Rabbi Mayevsky, and tonight's shiur is Le'ilui Nishmas Chaya Rochel Bas Rav David Tzvi. Parshas Yisro has some very interesting parts and some very seemingly inexplicable wording here that we have to deal with. Of course, the focal point is the Aseres HaDibros, which we know that Moshe gave over to Bnei Yisrael with the rest of the Torah. But the introduction at the beginning of Yisro, when Yisro comes to visit Moshe, it's obviously right near where Yisro lived. At this point, Yisro didn't live in Midian. It was very close to where Mount Sinai was. And that's why he stayed there for, according to some, he came twice, as we see in Baal Oscha. But some Mepharshim want to speculate that Moshe, Yisro, when he came now, stayed until the second year. He was there for a full year, and then he finally went home. But that doesn't make a difference at the moment. The point is, we're talking about Moshe and his sacrifice. We see something very interesting. The last nevuah that was given to Klal Yisrael 1,000 years later, after the period of nevuah from Abraham until Malachi finished his nevuah, was 1,000 years, and the last nevuah was Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. And it's very interesting when we think about it, what would make him say that in particular? There are so many things that have happened, and at the very last minute, he decides to tell Yisrael, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. It's not just to say, he could just say Zichru Torah, to remember all the Torah and listen to it. But it's Toras Moshe Avdi, Moshe my servant, as Moshe is referred to so many times. And that is very simply because Moshe sacrificed his entire life. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and told him to be the emissary, to be the shliach, to take the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim after 210 years in Egypt. And even though he said, shlach no biyat tishlach, and he balked about it for a while, for a week, they had this conversation until Moshe agreed to finally go. He was now 80 years old, and he had to make a determination. He had a child, Gershon. And now it's very interesting that the parasha begins again, and it says that he had two sons, Gershom and Eliezer, and a lot of the Mepharshim would like to know what is the reason that it would tell us that he had two sons, Shemu Echad Gershom and Shemu Echad Eliezer. And the language is what's very striking, because it would say by Eliezer, it should normally say V'shem Hasheni, and the second one was Eliezer. Now the point is, the reason for telling us the names of the two sons of Moshe at this point in time is not listing them. It just says one was this and one was that. The point of the listing them here, it gives us the reasons that Moshe gave their name. It says, Kiger Hoyisi Bieres Nachriya. It's telling us what was going on in the life of Moshe at that time. Initially, when he married Zipporah, and Yisrael took him into the house and gave him his daughter for a wife. The first child was Gershon, and years later he had Eliezer, and he said, Ki Elohei Yavi Biyazri Vayatzileni Micherev Paro, and he realizes at that point in time he only could do that when he went ahead and Vayatzileni Micherev Paro, is all the time that he was going to Paro, is normal to expect that Paro could have killed him, or would have normally, certainly to tell him, an emissary comes along and says, I represent the Jews, and I want you to send the Bnei Yisrael out of Egypt for 3 days, or whatever it is. He could have had Moshe killed right away, and some of Farshim want to explain that is the reason that it says, Vayatzileni Micherev Paro, all the dealings that I had with Paro, God saved me. But of course, when Eliezer was born, that preceded times that he went down to Paro to say, let my people go. So that's where the Medrash comes in and says that after he ran away from killing the Mitzri, he was captured and Paro tried to behead him and the sword broke on Moshe's neck. These are the reasons, but getting back to the fact that Moshe, at the age of 80, He's lived two-thirds of his life. Of course, he doesn't know that yet, but he's now gone through two-thirds of his life. He's settled in Midian, and he's assuming that that nothing happened when he killed the Mitzri, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, that he thought that would galvanize Klal Yisrael to rise up and make some sort of statement with while he was there, and he had to run away. And when Paro, he was saved from that, from the sword of Paro, and that's what caused him at that time to be thankful. And since all these years passed by and nothing happened, he gave up on the situation, and God had to tell him that this was the time now was ripe, and this is where we're up to. And now it says, Vayishma Yisro, Kohen Midyan, Chosein Moshe. Yisro hears all of the events that took place, the Ten Makos, the Kriyas Yamsuf, buried the Milchemes Amalek, and all of these things are very interesting. By the way, just getting away from it for a second, I just wanted to mention last week that in Parshas B'Shalach, it has one sentence that is very problematic when it says, Esamon Ochlu Arboim Shono Arboim Aleres Noshoves. What in the world is doing that? There's a machlokas in the Gemara in Megillah. If the Torah was written Megillah, Megillah Nikreis, did Moshe give the Torah to Klal Yisrael in intervals? In other words, Parashas initially, then Shemos, then Vayikra, then Bamidbar. As time went on, how could it be that he gave them? Shemos was finished. The end of Shemos is when the Mishkan was finally built. Shemos ends. This happened before the Meraglim, which is in Parashas in Sefer Bamidbar. How could it be that that sentence was that they ate man for 40 years in the Midbar? When was that pasuk written? The Bnei Yisrael, it couldn't have been that he wrote Megillah, Megillah Nikreis, that Moshe couldn't have written that pasuk earlier, because Bnei Yisrael would have looked at it and said, what does this say over here that we ate man in the Midbar for 40 years? This is only the first year or the second year in Mitzrayim, the second year in the Midbar. Why does it say we ate man for 40 years? There's no explanation if you say that Megillah, Megillah Nikreis. Therefore, it has to be that God, Moshe or Bnei Yisrael didn't see the Megillah, didn't see the Torah until it was finally completed in when Moshe wrote the Torah, as it says in Parashas Vayelech, which is very interesting when it says Atumam, he wrote the Torah till the end, and that's what it would have to be at that point. But otherwise, it would seem almost ridiculous that it would say that. In fact, one of the to uphold what it says in the Gemara, one of the Mefarshim actually makes what it's a Rishon who makes the claim that that sentence was added later on as Hamon Achlu Arboim Shana Arboim Arboim El Eretz Noshavet was written by Yehoshua later, which is rejected out of hand by, of course, most all other Rishonim, and of course it would be very problematic to say that. And Abarbanel makes a point of saying, because many times things are written in the Torah, just like it says, Vayomos Moshe, he's talking about the future, but that doesn't answer that point. But getting back to Moshe itself, the fact is, he has now two children and he's living in Midian. And God tells him to go down. Now, what did this do to Moshe's family life? He had to literally send back Zipporah and their sons back to Mitzrayim, while Yisro brought up with Zipporah, brought up their children, and it says, Achar Shiruchecha, the Talmud tells us that he gave her a get, and therefore they were divorced. And now the interesting thing is, the Pasuk, when it says, V'esh, when it says he brought Zipporah and the two sons, it says, V'esh Shnei Voneha. Why in the world does it say her two sons? Weren't they the sons of Moshe also? Weren't they Moshe's sons, the same sons? At least they could have said, V'eshnei bonim shaloh, you know, them, shalohem, or Moshe and Moshe's two sons. Yisro came with Zipporah and Moshe's two sons. Why does it single out and say only Zipporah's two sons? And I think the answer is a very telling one, unfortunately, in the life of Moshe, which signifies and elucidates the fact how much he had to sacrifice. We see many times in history that the sons of great people, on sometimes they follow in their father's footsteps and they become great people as our own children, certainly, even Nadav and Avihu before they were put to death, before they died. And Elazar and Esamar, certainly they were brought up by Aaron and he had that family life with them. But Moshe had no family life. Lest we think we, you know, denigrate Moshe in some way, we always look and we see certain times great people, their children don't follow in their footsteps, and we think, where did the parent go wrong? Suddenly something happened, and when do we ever hear about Gershom and Eliezer and Navi? Eliezer is only mentioned one time. They seem to be very two nondescript people we hear nothing about. And the Torah is telling us over here, the Eishnei Voneha, these were her two sons. We shouldn't think ill of Moshe in any way, shape, or form because he literally had nothing to do with their upbringing. The Eishnei Voneha, they were her two sons. Sons with them and Yisroel did not experience the Ten Makos of Mitzrayim, did not experience Kriyas Yamsof or Melchemes HaMolech, and they never had the experience of all these things that took place to firmly entrench them or ensconce in them this firm belief in God, even though they certainly later on, living with Moshe in the Midbar afterwards, that they had that point. But Moshe was the Sovalov min Boker at Orev, as it says in the Parsha. The people were standing, and Moshe had to deal with Klal Yisrael, the 603,000 people and the women, asking questions day and night for 40 years, talking to him, and he had to deal with them. And his chance of bringing up his own children fell by the wayside. And not only that, but we see that later on at the end of Parshas Bamidbar, when it lists the families of, when it talks about the Kohanim, the family of the Kohanim and the Levim, and it says, together the family of Moshe and Aaron, and it lists only the children of Aaron, doesn't even list at that point, it does not even list Gershom and Eliezer at that point in time, because the people that Moshe had, the children that Moshe had any responsibility to or had any give and take with, were his nephews, Elazar and Esamar, certainly Nadav and Avihu before they passed away, but they died tragically. But Elazar and Esamar, he had a lot to do with them, and he's given credit for their upbringing. But Gershom and Eliezer were not, he had no formative training as a parent. And that we see that is a very telling thing. And therefore it says, V'eishnei voneha. And Moshe had to delegate authority for all this time for all these people. And that's what Yisro was trying to tell him. I would like you to get to know your own sons. You don't know. And therefore, the only way you're going to do it is by delegating authority. Sorei alofim v'sorei meo, sorei chamishim v'sorei asaros. That can only happen if you want to have a family life in any way, shape, or form, and that's why I'm bringing them, maybe you'll have a chance for your children to get to know you. And the problem is, we see that's what happens. We see in our own life, if the parents who are not home to raise their children, and their children are like latchkey children or brought up without the influence of their parents being around and watching them grow on a day-to-day basis, especially in their formative years. Gershom and Eliezer were born late in Moshe's life, and their early upbringing was without Moshe, with Yisro, who, however, he brought them up. There's those that say he brought them up in the form of being idol worshippers in his town. But the point is, they didn't have Moshe's influence as a parent, and that was their undoing. And Moshe was willing to sacrifice that life. And that's why it says, V'eishnei boneha. And that is what the Torah is telling us. Do not think ill of Moshe that his children didn't grow up to be the same as Aaron's children. Moshe had a lot more to do with Aaron's children than he had to do with his own. And that is the difference. And, you know, B'nai Bonim, Hareim Kabonim, but the fact is that he didn't have anything to do. We hear nothing about his children, his grandchildren. They probably got married if they were 40 years in the Midbar. Certainly they would have gotten married, and it never even mentions the name of grandchildren. We don't know whatever happened to Moshe's family in Yoshua. They're mentioned only once in one of them. And it's a very interesting portion. And that's what I wanted to say. So therefore, when we get to the end of the last Nevuah, the only way when we say Zichru Toras Moshe, his legacy was not his children. We see on a matzeva, when after somebody dies, we say what they accomplished in their life and the children that they left over. The matzeva is your children, just like when Yaakov buried Rachel, it says he matzevet gras Rachel ad hayom. We're able, the mafarshim say at that point in time that the stone was just a grave marker. What Yaakov's legacy was, the Shvatim, the 12 children he left behind, the 13 children that he left behind was his legacy. And Moshe's legacy was that he gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. We have to see that sometimes we look for leaders at what cost. Do we appreciate the fact when somebody who takes on the job of being takes on the job of running a shul or giving his life over to the community, it's usually at the cost of bringing up his own family. We have to thank those people, and that's why the last Nevuah is so we can appreciate the leaders who give up so much of their time, that it's Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, in deference to Moshe, not to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, not to all the things, the Torah, was all down to Moshe Avdi. And that is what the last Nevuah is, because it started with Moshe and ends with Moshe. And the only way we could appreciate him giving over his family life was for that in itself. Have a good evening. Thank you. Yaseres Adibros, I think we're all pretty well schooled in what they're all about. Have a nice evening and have a good week.